ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीर्वुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 61 एंटाइटल्ड लॉर्ड बलराम स्लेस रुक्मी टेक्स्ट नंबर 33।
तदा ब्रवीन्नभो वाणी बले नैव जितो ग्लहः धर्मतो वचनेनैव रुक्मी वदति वै मृषा। तदा ब्रवीन्नभो वाणी बले नैव जितो ग्लहः धर्मतो वचनेनैव रुक्मी वदति वै मृषा। तदा ब्रवीन्नभो वाणी बले नैव जितो ग्लहः धर्मतो वचनेनैव रुक्मी वदति वै मृषा। तदा ब्रवीन्नभो वाणी बले नैव जितो ग्लहः धर्मतो वचनेनैव रुक्मी वदति वै मृषा। तदा ब्रवीन्नभो वाणी बले नैव जितो ग्लहः तदा ब्रवीन्नभो वाणी जितो ग्लहः धर्मतो वचनेनैव रुक्मी वदति वै मृषा।
मतयिस् वर्ड टू ट्रांसलेशन। तदा देन अब्रवीत स्पोक नभः इन द स्काई वाणी ए वॉइस बलेन बाय लॉर्ड बलराम एव इंडीड जितः वन ग्लह द वेजर धर्मतः फैरली वचनेन विथ वर्ड्स एव सर्टनली रुक्मी रुक्मी वदति स्पीक्स वै इंडीड मृषा ड्यूप्लिसिटस। Translation, translation and purports by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Translation.
Just then, a voice from the sky declared, Balaram has fairly won this wager. Rukmi is surely lying. Since there is no purport, we'll go to the next verse. Tam anadritya vaidarbo dushta rajanya choditaha சங்கர்ஷணம் பரிஹசன் பபாஷே காலச்சோதிதஹ. Urged on by the wicked kings, Rukmi ignored the divine voice. In fact, destiny itself was urging Rukmi on, and thus he ridiculed Lord Balaram as follows. Naivaksha kovida yuyam gopala vanagochara akshair divyanti rajanu banaischana bavadrisha. Rukmi said, you cowherds who wander about the forest know nothing about dice. Playing with dice and sporting with arrows are only for kings, not for the likes of you. Rukmi naivam adikshiptu rajabis chopahasitah kruddha parigam udyamya jagnetam nrimna shamsadi. Thus insulted by Rukmi and ridiculed by the kings, Lord Balaram was provoked to anger. In the midst of the auspicious wedding assembly, he raised his club and struck Rukmi dead. Kalinga rajam tarasa grihitva dashame pade dantan apatayat kruddo yo hasad vivrutair dvijay. The king of Kalinga, who had laughed at Lord Balaram and shown his teeth, tried to run away, but the furious Lord quickly seized him on his 10th step and knocked out all his teeth. Anye nirbinna bahuru shiraso rudirokshita rajano dudruvur bita balena parigardita. Tormented by Lord Balaram's club, the other kings fled in fear, their arms, thighs and heads broken and their bodies drenched in blood. Nihate Rukmini Shyale Nabravit Sad Asaduva Rukmini Balayo Rajan Sneha Banga Bayad Darihi. When his brother-in-law Rukmi was slain, Lord Krishna neither applauded nor protested. O king, for he feared jeopardizing his affectionate ties with either Rukmini or Balaram. Last verse. Tato aniruddham sahasurya yavaram ratam samaropya yayu kushastalim ramadayo bojakata dasharha siddha kilartha madhusudanashraya. Then the descendants of Dasharha, headed by Lord Balaram, seated Aniruddha and his bride on a fine chariot and set off from Bojakata for Dwaraka. Having taken shelter of Lord Madhusudan, they had fulfilled all their purposes. Purport. Even though Rukmini was very dear to all the Dasharhas, her brother Rukmi had constantly opposed and insulted Krishna since Rukmini's wedding. Thus, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains, the associates of Lord Krishna could hardly lament Rukmi's sudden demise. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namavo Mishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashyati Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. So these are the concluding verses of this chapter. I think from tomorrow the next chapter will begin. So in this chapter, these verses we are actually hearing how Lord Balaram slayed Rukmi. So as you know that the residents of Dwaraka, Krishna and his family members, they had come to Bojakata for the marriage of Aniruddha with Rukmi's granddaughter. So in that marriage ceremony, Rukmi, being instigated by other kings, he started playing gambling match with Lord Balaram. So they felt that Krishna is very difficult to defeat. So they said, we can easily defeat Lord Balaram. So they instigated Rukmi to play the gambling match with Balaram. And in the first round, Rukmi won. They had made a wager of some 100 gold coins, something like that. In the first round, Rukmi won. But in the second round, Lord Balaram had put an even higher wager. And in the second round, Lord Balaram won. But then Rukmi, he actually declared that I am the winner. Lord Balaram was very angry, but he somehow tolerated. And then the third round, again, Lord Balaram put even more wager. And the third round, again, Lord Balaram won. But Rukmi declared that I am the winner. And then he said that you can ask any of the witnesses who are present here. You can ask any of the kings who are the witness to show that I am the winner. Because actually all those kings were actually their associates of Rukmi. They are also like a demoniac in nature. So because they all had actually, they are all friends of Rukmi. So Rukmi told like that. And all of them actually testified that actually Rukmi is the winner. But actually Balaram won. So at that time, when Rukmi was speaking like that, when all the witnesses, when they actually said that Rukmi is the winner, so at that time a voice spoke from the sky, and that voice said that actually Lord Balaram is the winner, not Rukmi. So when that voice spoke, but still Rukmi refused to actually accept that Lord Balaram is the winner, Rukmi said that actually I am the winner. So when he continued to say like that, so then Lord Balaram became very angry. Lord Balaram became very angry, and then he took his club and then he actually killed Rukmi. And then after that, he actually took the club and he attacked the Kalinga Raj. Because that Kalinga Raj, previously he laughed at Lord Balaram, and Lord Balaram actually lost the match in the first round. So Lord Balaram, he actually broke the teeth of Kalinga Raj. And then immediately all the kings, they became afraid, and then they actually flew away from the place. So in this way, when this killing happened, and Shukadeva Goswami says that Krishna was, and Krishna saw this event, Krishna, he neither wanted to support, he was neither excited, because if he had been excited, then like Rukmini may become angry, Rukmini may become displeased that how can actually Lord Krishna support the killing of my brother Rukmi. And if Krishna actually had chastised Balaram, then he may actually break his relationship with Balaram. He may actually disturb his relationship with Balaram, chastising. So Krishna actually described that Krishna neither applauded nor did he protest. So then this chapter ends by saying that all the residents of Dwaraka, headed by Dasharga, headed by Lord Balaram, they actually seated Aniruddha and his bride on a fine chariot, and they returned to Dwaraka. So this is how this chapter ends. So we'll try to discuss some lessons from this, something what I could think of. So here we see that Balaramji, if you see Balaramji's character in the 10th canto, I think previously, last year, Govind Thru spoke about very nicely about Balaramji's character. We see that in Balaramji, especially in the Dwaraka Leela, so he was explaining, Balaramji seems to be opposing Krishna in many instances. Like for example, previously, after the marriage of Rukmini, Rukmi attacked Krishna. At that time, Krishna actually shaved off Rukmi. Krishna punished him by actually shaving him off. So that time, Balaramji actually came and spoke to Krishna, you cannot treat a relative like this. And Balaramji opposed Krishna in his act of actually punishing Rukmi. And later, even during the Shamantaka Jewel episode, actually everyone blamed Krishna. They thought actually Krishna also was one of the culprits. Krishna was the one who actually killed Shatrajit. Even Balaramji also blamed Krishna. And Balaramji, he blamed Krishna, and then he actually went to Mithila, becoming a little angry with Krishna. And Balaramji stayed in Mithila for a few years. And when Balaramji was staying at Mithila, that was the time that Balaramji taught Duryodhan in the art of fighting with Gada. So Krishna was favoring the Pandavas and Balaramji was actually favoring the Duryodhan, favoring the Kauravas. And also we'll see at the end of the 10th canto, in the 88th chapter, in the marriage of Arjuna with Subhadra, even in that instance Balaramji wanted to give Subhadra in marriage to Duryodhan. Although Krishna wanted to give Subhadra in marriage to Arjuna. And another instance where the Yadus were discussing how the Kurus have actually ill-treated the Pandavas in the gambling match. And Kurus have actually, in so many instances, they try to cheat the Pandavas, they try to actually commit so much of like wrong activities towards the Pandavas. So at that time, when they were actually talking about how the Kurus cheated the Pandavas in the gambling match, that time Balaramji opposed the Kurus and the Krishna by saying that actually it was the mistake of the Pandavas, they accepted the proposal for a gambling match. So in this way we see Balaramji opposing Krishna in so many instances. But although Balaramji opposed Krishna in so many instances, but Balaramji's his essential mood is of servitude to Krishna. Because Lord Balaram is called as a supreme personality of servitor Godhead. So although Balaramji is externally is opposing Krishna, but his core mood, his fundamental attitude is that of actually servant of Krishna, to glorify Krishna. So that is why he is called as Sesha. Sesha means one who always accepts the remnants of Krishna after it has been enjoyed by Krishna. So how, even when Balaramji performs the Ras Leela with the gopis, we'll read in the 65th chapter when Balaramji returns to Vrindavan, even he performs the Ras Leela with the gopis, even in that he is in that core mood of servant of Krishna. So how he is situated, we may not be able to understand according to our mundane intelligence. But Balaramji is essentially in this mood of serving Krishna. So we cannot imitate Balaramji, but we have to actually accept that Balaramji is in the mood of servitude to Krishna. So Kaviraj Goswami, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he speaks this famous verse which Srila Prabhupada would often quote. Yandra chitte Krishna prema kareye udai, tandra vakye kriya mudra vigyeha na bujay. The Prabhupada would quote this verse by saying, Vaishnavera kriya mudra na vigyeha bujay. This verse is quoted by Kaviraj Goswami to show that even a person who is very learned, highly learned, he cannot understand a devotee who is situated in the platform of love for Godhead. He cannot understand the activities, the words of a devotee who is situated in the stage of Krishna Prem. Even a learned person cannot actually understand the words and activities. So Shivaram Maharaj explains so beautifully in his book. He says that the effect of love for Krishna is beyond the influence of time and the material modes. Therefore, conditioned souls and even practicing devotees cannot understand the behavior of such devotees. And then he explains that in the case of premi bhaktas, they cannot even conceive of doing anything which would displease Krishna. They cannot even conceive of that. And if in the course of pleasing Krishna, if such devotees transgress certain religious codes or even some rules of devotional practice, lesser Vaishnavas should simply offer respects to such people, to such devotees. In fact, if the practicing devotees, suppose if they get a lot of doubts that how can this devotee act like that, if they are unable to adjust themselves when they witness the devotee in the stage of love of Godhead, then he says a devotee should simply keep a safe distance from such devotees, just so that we don't offend them, to protect ourselves. Like Prabhupada writes this principle in one purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Mahaprabhu would go to take darshan of Lord Jagannath, very few instances Mahaprabhu would directly enter the altar of Jagannath. He would come close and take darshan of Lord Jagannath. Sometimes when he would be in Alarnath and then when he would come to take darshan after a long time, so that time maybe he would come close. But almost all the instances Mahaprabhu would take darshan staying next to Garuda Stambha. So Prabhupada, in regards to that, he writes in the purport, sometimes coming too near the deity or the spiritual master degrades the neophyte devotee. And personal servants of the deity and the spiritual master should therefore always be very careful, for negligence may overcome them in their duty. And we see the classic example is that when Nityananda Prabhu, once he kicked a Shivananda Sen because there was a delay in, he had to wait for some time for Shivananda Sen to pay the tolls. So at that time Nityananda Prabhu, in his transcendental anger, he actually kicked a Shivananda Sen. But Shivananda Sen, he could actually adjust himself. He felt so fortunate. But the nephew of Shivananda Sen, Srikanta Sen, he got bewildered, how can actually Nityananda Prabhu do like that? And he got disturbed, and then he actually left that that yatra party, and then he actually went ahead to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So therefore, in that sense, this principle is there, that sometimes a person in the stage of love of Godhead, he may apparently act in a contradictory manner, breaking some rules. But lesser Vaishnavas should try to adjust themselves. If they are unable to do that, then they keep a safe distance from such elevated devotees. But having said this, but in the case of the sadhaka bhaktas, they should actually follow all the rules of sadhana bhakti to their full detail as far as possible. So one cannot say sometimes person at the stage of love of God, he may forego certain rules, but then a sadhaka bhakta, he should actually practice all the rules and regulations perfectly. And also, neither should devotees accommodate the deviant behavior of other practitioners simply to avoid being criticized. Person at the stage of love of God, we may keep a distance, we should not criticize, but sometimes we may see some other devotees, they may commit some mistakes, they may show some deviant behavior. But just to avoid being criticized, it's not that the sadhaka bhakta should accommodate their deviant behavior. One should actually report to the concerned people. And also, that is also important. And when we talk about the person on the stage of love of Godhead, there is a verse in the 11th canto which describes the person at the stage of love of God. So this verse says that evam vratasva priyanama kirtya jatanu rago drita chitta uchair hasatyado rauditi rauti gayat unmadavan nrityati loka bhagya. So in this verse describes a person at the stage of love of Godhead, by chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord, a person comes to the stage of love of Godhead. And such a person, then the devotee is fixed in his vow as the eternal servant of the Lord. Evam vratasva Priya Nama Kirtya. And he gradually becomes very much attached to a particular name of the Lord and a particular form of the Lord. And then this verse describes how a person in the stage of love of Godhead behave. How does he behave? Hasatyado roditi rauti gayad unmadavan nrityati loka bahya. Sometimes he may loudly laugh, sometimes he may cry, and sometimes he sings and dances like a madman because he is indifferent to public opinion. He is indifferent to public opinion. Like Namani Anantasya Hatatrapapatan. Narada Muni describes that in this way he started wandering all over the world, completely ignoring all the formalities of this world. Hatatrapapatan. Like in the same Narada Muni, he describes in the first canto, just one chapter before, he says that when I was serving the Bhaktivedantas, he describes the different qualities. I was self-controlled. I had no attachment to sports. And I would not play different things. And I would not unnecessarily talk. Like that, he describes so many qualities. So Prabhupada writes that unless a person is self-controlled, unless a person is having all these qualities, unless a person is sober in nature, one cannot make progress. So at that time, Narada Muni was just a five-year-old boy. Usually a five-year-old boy, he would be attached to sports and would be restless. He cannot sit at one place. So a five-year-old boy is usually very much restless. But Narada Muni, even as a five-year-old boy, he was so sober, he was not attached to any sports. But the same Narada Muni, he says that after the Bhaktivedantas left, when he actually came to the stage of love of Godhead, he said that Naman Anantasya Hatatrapapatan. I started traveling all over the world completely ignoring all the formalities. Like Prabhupada writes completely giving up all the shyness, and he was just dancing like a madman in the Kirtan of the Lord, singing the glories of the Lord. So in that sense, that is the ultimate goal is that on one day we can actually dance in the Kirtan of the Lord, completely ignoring all the formalities. That is our ultimate goal. But in order to achieve that goal, we have to go through this behavior which Narada Muni exhibited being sober and being self-controlled and practicing the rules of sadhana bhakti. So that is the way. So, but the point I want to make here is this is the symptom of a person in the stage of love of God. This verse describes that. But then, the same purport to this particular verse, Madhvacharya quotes a interesting verse from the Varaha Puran. And he says, like sometimes a person in the stage of love of Godhead, sometimes he may not exhibit these symptoms like dancing or shouting or singing like a madman. Sometimes he acts very soberly, he is very introspective. And sometimes a devotee may exhibit these symptoms. A person in the stage of love of Godhead, he may not exhibit any of these symptoms. Another devotee in the stage of love of Godhead may exhibit these symptoms. And the third devotee may exhibit, sometimes he may be introspective, sometimes he may be acting soberly, and sometimes he may be behaving like a madman. But then, one may get the question, but how do we actually understand whether a person in the stage of love of God? Because if you see these symptoms, they can be imitated by even an ordinary person. Like a dancing like a madman, or shouting, or dancing. It can be imitated by an ordinary person, and even a person who is actually on that stage, he may also not exhibit these symptoms. So if we go by these symptoms, we may consider an ordinary devotee to be an exalted person, and we may mistake an exalted devotee on the stage of love of God to be an ordinary person, just because he is not exhibiting these symptoms. have to give a simple example which we can relate to. Like, suppose you want to know what is real gold. So if you see that, if you think that, oh, anything which is yellow in color, which is glittering and yellow in color, if you think that as a symptom of gold, then you may consider and you may mistaken some ordinary metal also as a gold. Because an ordinary metal can be actually like gold painted. It can be like painted like a gold. We may mistake that as a gold, or sometimes a pure gold may be mixed with certain impurities. So it may not appear, it may not be actually glittering like gold. So if we go by this symptom of that which is like yellow, which is glittering, then we may actually mistake a pure gold to be an ordinary metal, or mistake an ordinary metal to be pure gold. So similarly, if we go by these external symptoms of nrityati, rauti, rodati, and gayati, unmadavan nrityati, so then we may mistake and we may commit this mistake of considering an ordinary person to be a great devotee, or a great devotee to be an ordinary person. So what are the reliable symptoms of a person in the stage of love of Godhead? So in that verse from the Varaha Purana, it is explained, the reliable symptoms are twofold. One is that it is by one's steadfastness, the steadiness of a person's practice of devotional service, and secondly by the merciful vibrations emanating from one's mouth, that one's devotion can be judged and not otherwise. So basically, by the steadiness of a person's practice of devotional service, despite so many obstacles, and secondly by the power of their vibrations, the effect of their merciful vibrations that has on others. Like, we can see in the case of Srila Prabhupada, like, he may hardly exhibit the symptoms of ecstasy, or dancing like a madman, or shouting like that. But one thing we can see in the life of Srila Prabhupada is that his steadiness of practice of devotional service, that we can see in the, like, throughout the Leelamrit. There are maybe so many letters, so many instances which can actually vouch for that. And also, the power of Srila Prabhupada's merciful sound vibrations, that in such a short time, he was able to transform people from such a very bad background, who are actually addicted to many sinful habits. He was able to elevate them to a position of such elevated Vaishnavas. We have experience in our preaching, like, how it becomes so difficult to actually convince a person to practice the regulative principles, to make them fixed in the practice of sadhana bhakti. It takes so much of energy and so much of, it takes so many years to make few devotees, to make them fixed in the practice of sadhana bhakti. But Srila Prabhupada could actually transform people from such low background, but he could make them actually elevate them in such a short time. So that is the power of the merciful sound vibrations of the pure devotee. So this is the symptom of the spiritual master who is situated in the stage of love of Godhead, and who is actually the representative of Sri Balramji. Because Balramji is actually in his intoxication of love for Krishna, sometimes he may behave in a way, but which may be opposing Krishna, but essentially he is situated as the supreme personality of Sarvaitar Godhead. And secondly, I want to talk about the cheating propensity of Rukmi. Here we see Rukmi, he was actually, Balramji is the winner, but Rukmi is not ready to accept this. And voice from the sky spoke that Balramji is the winner, but he still continued to declare himself as the winner. So this cheating propensity, in fact, just before that, talking about gambling, of course, gambling is one other thing one should avoid. In fact, gambling on a grass level means like engaging one's money for actually gambling. But gambling on a subtle level means gambling on a subtle level, it implies actually mental speculation. On a grass level, we are actually gambling using the money. But on a subtle level, when we do mental speculation, we are gambling with the truth. So in that sense, we may be avoiding the gambling on a grass level, but then on a subtle level, we may not be following the regularity principles when we do mental speculation. That is, when you are gambling with the truth. So Srila Prabhupada writes one very beautiful purport, which I always remember when it comes to mental speculation. So Prabhupada says that the attempt of the empiric philosophers to understand the absolute truth by speculation is always futile, because their process of understanding, their objective, and the instruments by which they try to understand the absolute truth are all material. The process, their objective, and the instruments by which they try to understand are all material. So in that sense, Rukmi was actually gambling, and he was trying to cheat that he is the winner. So when we talk about this cheating propensity, in fact, Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport in the third canto, when Kapila Devi is giving instruction to Devahuti, Kapila Devi says that griheshu koota dharmeshu dukkha tantresh atandritaha. He says that life in the material world, especially the householder life, but in general life in the material world, it is koota dharmeshu, it is full of diplomacy and politics. In fact, Prabhupada explains that unless a person is a clever diplomat, one's life in the material world will be a failure. The material world is made in such a way that unless a person is diplomatic, especially like he talks about householder life, that one will be, the life will be a failure. In that sense, one will have to, when we are dealing with different people in the work, or even sometimes some different relatives or family, sometimes the situations are created that one will have to be diplomatic. Otherwise, one will be actually sometimes one will be more miserable. One's life will be a failure. That's what Srila Prabhupada explains. Griheshu koota dharmeshu. And then he says, human society competes nationally or individually, and in the attempt to be successful, the entire human society becomes full of diplomacy. But we should always remember that in spite of all diplomacy and all intelligence in the struggle for our existence, everything will end in a second by the supreme will. So therefore, all our attempts to become happy in this material world are simply a delusion offered by Maya. So even in the Bhagavad Gita purport also, he explains that when a person is doing business, he will have to resort to some amount of cheating. If a businessman says that for you, I'm not making any profit, that you must understand that it is not true. So one will have to resort to some sort of cheating. So but the main point is that one has to be careful, especially in the case of a devotee, one has to be careful that the cheating propensity does not actually infiltrate his spiritual life also. So in the material world, sometimes one may have to be diplomatic, but then one should be careful that the diplomatic behavior should not actually intrude into his spiritual life. That a sadhaka has to be careful of. So when we talk about cheating propensity in spiritual life, so what does it mean? Cheating propensity means that we want to put little effort, but we want to gain more. in a gambling or something, a person wants to invest little, but then a person wants to get more in return. And or a person, he is actually in a particular position, but he actually poses himself as something, as someone who is highly advanced. So that is also another form of cheating propensity. And especially when we talk about the cheating propensity, like in the, we can see the cheating propensity, we can see this in the attitude of a sahajiya. So sahajiya, the attitude of sahajiya is that a person in the stage of sahajiya, he is actually, troubled with so many anarthas, but then he apparently poses himself as something highly advanced, as if that he is in contact with the, as if he is very much aware of the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and the pastimes of the residents of Vrindavan. But although his level is something very low, he is having trouble with following the basic regulative principles. But he poses himself as something very advanced. And in the case of Sahajiya, another attitude of Sahajiya is that they don't want to practice the rules of sadhana bhakti, but they want the fruit of sadhana bhakti, that is love of God. Our Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj explains in a simple words, Sahajiya means he wants the salary, but he doesn't want to work. Or a Sahajiya wants the realization, but he doesn't want to dedicate himself to the process of sadhana bhakti. A Sahajiya is one who wants the experience of ecstasy, but doesn't want to show commitment to the process of sadhana bhakti. So one can get realization only by dedication, by year after year. One can get the experience of ecstasy only when a person commits to the mission of the Guru Parampara. And other, without that one cannot get that. So basically, the sahajiyas, the attitude of sahajiya is that, sometimes our sadhana is very pathetic, but then we talk about as if going to the spiritual world, like buying a ticket to Kurla and then going. As if we are so familiar, oh, this person went to the spiritual world, or when will I go to the spiritual world? But we are so callous in our sadhana. So that is, in one sense, the attitude of sahajiya. So, especially, there's one beautiful purport in the 10th canto, in the prayers of the kings who are under the captive of Jarasandha, they offer a particular prayers to Krishna. The 10th canto, 73rd chapter, after Bhima actually kills Jarasandha, so that time Krishna actually liberates so many kings who are actually under the captive of Jarasandha. So then after being liberated, these kings, they offer a beautiful set of prayers to Krishna. In one particular prayer, the kings say that actually previously you were blinded by the material opulence, so therefore we have been put in this condition. They did not actually blame others for their condition, they actually took the full responsibility. We became very proud because of the material opulence, and we actually, because of that, we were actually held captive by Jarasandha. And then they say, never again we desire the material opulence of the kings. And nor do we desire the opulence of the heavenly planets. And then they speak a very beautiful verse, especially the purport of Vishnu Chakra Thakur. He writes a very beautiful purport. The kings say, Tanna samadishopayam yenate charanabjayo smritir yata na viramed api samsmaratam iha. The kings are telling Krishna, Tanna samadisha upayam, please teach us the method by which we can remember your lotus feet. Even though we may be transmigrating from one body to another body, we may be transmigrating in the cycle of birth and death, please teach us the method by which we can remember your lotus feet. Smritir yatana virabet api samsmaratamiha. Api samsmaratamiha means, though we may continue to transmigrate in the cycle of birth and death, all we want is that you teach us a method by which we can remember your lotus feet. So when Krishna hears this word, api samsmaratamiha, as long as we transmigrate in the cycle of birth and death, so Krishna feels that maybe these kings want liberation. So Krishna says, okay, I will give you Sayujya Mukti. Why don't you take Sayujya Mukti? Like, we will find in so many prayers that, like in the Prachetas prayers, Prachetas say that, Yavatte Mayaya Sprishta Brahmama Iha Karmabhi Tavat Bhavat Prasangana Sangasyanno Bhave Bhave. As long as we transmigrate in the cycle of birth and death, all we desire the association of devotees. So in that purport also, it's explained that, because they are saying, Yavatte Mayaya Sprishta. As long as we transmigrate in the cycle of birth and as long as we are in the clutches of illusory energy, so Krishna feels that maybe they want liberation. So Krishna says, okay, I will give you Sayujya Mukti. So similarly, Krishna is offering these kings, that why don't you take Sayujya Mukti? I will give you liberation immediately. The kings reply, no, we do not desire liberation. And then they say, we do not even desire Prema Bhakti, which is the crest jewel of all benediction. We do not even desire Krishna Prema, which is the crest jewel of all the benedictions. And then they go on to say, that not only we don't desire liberation, we don't desire even Prema Bhakti, and we do not even desire remembrance of your lotus feet, which is one of the limb of Bhakti, Shravanam, Kirtanam and Smaranam. We do not even desire remembrance of your lotus feet. In fact, Rupa Goswami explains that the purpose of following all the rules and regulations is to always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Smartavya sadasam Vishnur, vismartavyona jatuchit. But here the kings are saying that we do not even desire remembrance of your lotus feet. And then Krishna is asking, but then what do we desire then? The kings are saying, we want you to teach the method by which we can remember your lotus feet. And Vishnu Chakra Thakur adds further in the purport. And the kings are not even saying, they are not using the word Dehi. Dehi means, they are not saying that, please give us the method by which you can remember your lotus feet. If they had used the word Dehi, that means, it might imply that, we don't want to work, we don't want to do hard work. You just give the method. But they are saying that, please teach us the method. That means like, they are ready to do hard work, that we are ready to act like a student, and we are ready to actually learn that method, and we are ready to follow that method, and so that we can remember your lotus feet. So this shows their eagerness for practicing sadhana bhakti, that how they are actually ready to learn the method and practice that method, and they do not want, like sometimes we want that, like we just want like some easy way by which we can like immediately get the, say, easily go back to the spiritual world, or easily get, we don't want to practice the sadhana. But here the kings are actually, they are telling that we want to learn the method. You please teach us the method so that by which we can remember your lotus feet. And Vishnu Chakra Thakur, he writes in that purport that this shows clearly the highest degree of qualities like humility, sense control and freedom from material desire, which are necessary qualifications for bhakti. So actually they are on the platform of love of Godhead. But they are actually eager to practice the rules of, they are eager to practice sadhana bhakti. And lastly, like if we see Rukmini, like in the case of Rukmini, it was described in the end, at the end of the previous chapter, the same instance was actually spoken by Krishna. Krishna told in the previous chapter that when Rukmi was killed by Balramji, that time you do not even speak a single word. Fearing that that if he had spoken some word, that maybe then fearing that Krishna would actually, fearing that I will actually leave your association and then go to somewhere else. So Rukmini felt that if I oppose Balaramji killing Rukmi, maybe Krishna may become upset with me and then Krishna will leave my association and I will lose the opportunity to serve Krishna. And so fearing that, Krishna, Rukmini did not speak even a single word. And we see that Rukmini, on the other hand, in the same chapter, we see Rukmini actually spoke so many, she refuted each and every argument of Krishna. Like Krishna told Rukmini that you made a wrong choice by actually choosing me as the husband. And Krishna gave so many arguments and Rukmini refuted each and every argument like an expert lawyer. And then the same Rukmini, she actually refrained from speaking when Balaramji slayed Rukmi. Like usually, like somebody who is all the time used to speaking, it may be very difficult for him to actually restrain his speech sometimes when it is actually needed. Like for example, like just a small observation about advocates or lawyers, I don't want to generalize, but in general, if you see, like you see other professions have some retirement, but in the lawyer profession there is no retirement. But even the lawyers, they don't want to retire also. Like sometimes they continue to practice 73, 75, 78, like that. Because there is an inherent addiction to actually posing different arguments. There is a subtle addiction. Yeah, speaking, and more a person becomes experienced, that you get more actually cases and more people actually approach. And because you become more conversant with the different laws and case studies. And so in general, like, we find lawyers, they don't want to retire also. Because more, one is like maybe the attraction to money, and there is a subtle addiction of actually speaking and winning over the arguments. But Rukmini acted like an expert lawyer, but she also refrained from speaking. And we see that this particular like quality of the devotees about when to actually speak out, when to actually show one's power and attachment, and when to actually refrain, when to show detachment. So that timing is one of the showing the attachment and detachment at the right time. That is one of the hallmarks of the mature devotee. There are many examples in the Bhagavatam. I will just touch two examples and then I will end the class. Like for example, like one is like we see like Anga Maharaj and Dhritarashtra. Like one aspect of this timing is that like when to have a philosophical outlook towards the life and when to have an active outlook, in the sense that when to actually do something, putting our energy to do something. And at certain time, we should simply have a philosophical outlook and not actually refrain from doing something. So that becomes, we become confused. Like for example, if you see Anga Maharaj and Dhritarashtra, the similarity is that both of them had bad sons. Anga Maharaj had Vena as a son, who was a cruel son. And Dhritarashtra had all the Kauravas, all of them are actually very cruel people. But when all the time it was reported to Dhritarashtra that your sons were, you should actually correct your sons, you should reject your sons, that time Dhritarashtra simply spoke philosophy. So everything is happening by the will of the Lord. So he was actually supposed to do something, put some effort to correct them. So he was supposed to do something, but instead of doing something, he actually had a philosophical outlook. Oh, everything is happening. Not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord. And on the other hand, we see the exact opposite of Anga Maharaj. Anga Maharaj, he got Vena as the son. He put his efforts to correct the son, his son Vena. And repeatedly put efforts. And after putting sufficient efforts, when all his attempts failed, when he was convinced that this person cannot be changed, then he had a philosophical outlook. In fact, if you see that story, such a beautiful story of Anga Maharaj. Initially, when he did not have a son, Anga Maharaj, he felt that, oh, those who have son are fortunate and those who do not have son are unfortunate. And then with the help of the sages, he got a son. And then he got a bad son. And at that time, he was thinking that those who have a good son are fortunate and those who have a bad son are unfortunate. And then when he put repeated efforts to change Vena, and then Vena could not be corrected, so that time he was thinking that, oh, those who have a bad son, they are the most fortunate. And those who have good son, they are actually unfortunate. Because when a person has good son, he may become attached to the good son and he may forget the goal of life. When a person has a bad son, that can actually act as an impetus to actually become attached to Krishna. So, of course, the main lesson we learn is that how to have a positive outlook in any situation of life. But talking about in this particular line, how Anga Maharaj, when it was time to correct, he put his effort to correct. And when it was time to actually, he was detached. When he was supposed to have a philosophical outlook, he had a philosophical outlook. And the second example, we see, like in the case of Arjuna, Dhritarashtra and the Pandavas, like before the battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna, he wanted to retire, he didn't want to fight. In that sense, he showed detachment at the wrong time. He showed detachment at the wrong time. Showing detachment at the wrong time, that would lead to actually violence to the society. And Dhritarashtra, he showed attachment at the wrong time. After the battle was over, when all his 100 sons were killed, he was already old, but still he was attached to the comforts of the family. So he showed attachment at the wrong time. So Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita in order to so that Arjuna becomes responsible and he fights the battle in Krishna consciousness. And Vidura instructed Dhritarashtra so that he exhibits a detachment, that external detachment, he actually leaves home. And the third example is that, but the Pandavas, Prabhupada names this chapter as Pandavas retired timely. Pandavas retired timely. When after the disappearance of Krishna, the Pandavas showed detachment at the right time, even though nobody was actually there to tell them. And there is one very beautiful verse which comes in the chapter. Te sadhu krita sarvartha gyatva atyantika matmana manasa darayan asur vaikunta charanambuja. So it is described, te sadhu krita sarvartha. They who had performed all duties such as dharma and artha as it should be done. Sadhu krita sarvartha. They had performed all the duties as it should be done. And gyatva atyantikam atmanaha. That means understanding the endless nature of those duties. So they had performed those duties properly. And then at a certain point they understood there is no end to these duties. There is no end to the duties of these kingly responsibilities, taking care of the family and all these things. And understanding the endless nature of those duties, and meditated on the lotus feet of Krishna with their minds. And Sridhar Swami gives another explanation for the same word, atyantika matmanaha. One meaning is that they understood the endless nature of those duties. And another meaning is that they understood the infinite nature of Krishna's lotus feet. Infinite nature of Krishna's lotus feet. That means, like, sometimes a person may understand, oh, there is no end to these duties. But then if there is no positive attraction to something superior, even though he may retire, again he may come back to some old thing. And sometimes a person may have some attraction to Krishna, but then if he does not understand the endless nature of these duties, he may not actually become detached at the right time. He may still continue to get caught up in those things. But the Pandavas, they understood the endless nature of those duties, and they also understood they were aware of the infinite nature of Krishna's lotus feet. they actually concentrated their minds on Krishna. In this way, they retired at the right time. So therefore, Prabhupada names that chapter as Pandavas Retire Timely. And which is one of the important principles about when to retire and when not to retire. And we see here Rukmini also, she was expert in actually giving arguments when it was needed, and then she also refrained from speaking, as actually Krishna explained. So I'll stop here. If anybody has.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Prabhu, for your class. You are mentioning about the nature of sergeants. They want the fruit, but they do not want to dedicate their lives to hard work. And then later on, you are mentioning about how the kings prayed to Lord Krishna that we give us the process for remembering you. Now my question is that many times, why does it happen? We see it happening in devotees' lives that they get the process, but they become very lazy or complacent in working to get the fruit of love of God. Something like you have it, you're there, but then things are going very slow, you don't want to work, you're just absorbed in other materialistic things than in working hard to get this fruit, which is so rare. So why do we see that happening with sadhakas? Get stuck somewhere in the middle and not actually we endeavor or strive or struggle to get which is so rare, and it is there, the process is given. Why does it happen?
Listen, I would say that like many of this type of questions, like how to become enthusiastic or why does a person become lazy? It is not that it's ultimately a person's choice that like a person becomes how to become enthusiastic.
Complacent or laziness.
One reason is that we are always if you see the modern lifestyle, we are always used to getting things. We are always used to getting things at a particular time, at a certain time's notice. Suppose we study in a college, we get a degree after 4 years, we get a job. Or, we are using the mobile phones, laptop. In one sense, we may use it in Krishna's service, but then if you are not careful, we become conditioned to that consciousness of actually getting things at a particular time, getting things immediately. So, because of a certain lifestyle in which we are used to getting things immediately, so unconsciously that lifestyle also conditions us. We have that conditioning when we come to the practice of in the devotional service also. So then we see, but in the devotional service it is actually a lifelong practice, and we see after 5 years, 5 years, 10 years, still we are not getting the result, we are still having anarthas. So we feel that why I'm not getting. One is because we have become conditioned by the other lifestyle, so that lifestyle also affects us. Of course, we may not living in a city, we may have to adopt that lifestyle, but we have to actually, we have to be conscious that, we have to consciously put our effort that doesn't condition our consciousness when it comes to devotional service. So because of that conditioning, we feel that we are not getting the result. When we are not getting the result, we feel, why should I work hard? Let me just do it casually. We think like that. That is one of the reasons I feel. So I'll stop here. Grantana Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.